to the old me, scared and unseen. You're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This is keep it real, keep it purpose bound. Every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Edna White, and I am your guest of Keeping It Real on Purpose, where we talk to real people in real time about real things, all on purpose. And today, our guest is Kimberly Henry, who is the owner, the founder of Million Dollar Memoirs. Welcome to Keeping It Real on Purpose.
Hi, Edna. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so tell us, how do you show up in the world?
Well, this goes back to 2021, where I was working for corporate for 22 years. And, you know, life takes you through many things, and everything was leading to me leaving that corporate job. Because once I found that I wrote my memoir in 2020 when we went into lockdown. And once I realized I can help others do it because I've done mine, then it just made sense for me to leave that job that served me as a single mom. And it supported me being with my daughter. And it got her over to Europe, and she's creating her life. And now I can step into doing what makes me happy and fulfills my soul and serving other people. So that's kind of the gist of where it all started from.
Okay, so you're showing up real fashionable now. You're an empty nester like me, right? You're like really an empty nester.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. That's good. So tell us a little bit about yourself. I know that your title, Million Dollar Memoirs. Tell us how you bring that out for people.
Yeah, I named it Million Dollar Memoirs because one of my obstacles was getting that my story was worthy, because I was going through all of these questions, basically like, who am I to write my story? Why would you and other people read my story? Because there's a lot of people that have endured being a child of alcoholics, being raped at a young age, going through domestic violence with a intimate partner. Like, there's a lot of people that have gone through that. So why me? And so I want people to get that their story does matter, and that it's about the lessons that others can learn from your story. It's not about like all of the hows, because that's where I was stuck. The obstacle was getting over the letting go of the hows, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh yeah, girl. Because I'm one. I ever since I was born, my mom says I always ask why. And it wasn't like sarcastic why, but it was like, I really want to know why. And so she, one day she was disciplining us, right? And so it was like, it was five of us and my cousin. So it was six kids in the house. And so we were jumping, we were on twin beds, jumping around, you know, just jumping around. And so my mom said, it's time for bed. So she was coming in the room, you know, with the scowl on her face, you know, I told you to go to bed. And so when she goes to like really yell, I said, Mom, calm down. I want to know why you want us to go to bed at 8 o'clock exactly. So my mom was so thrown off. She said, I was so thrown off. Like, what kid asks these questions like this? And she started to smile to herself. And she's like, she walked away. She goes, from then on, I knew that you were this odd kid. And it started at six. So she says, I knew that you were going to find out how it worked, no matter what. But it's so important what you said, as we go through life in our business, don't worry about the how. I never worried about the how. I worried why. I always had to set it up the right way, why it had to be. And I didn't think about the how. I was like, yeah, it's coming. You know, yeah, it's coming. You know, it may not be what I wanted, but it came, you know. So that's important. I love that. Forget about the how.
Yeah.
So how do you write people? Go ahead.
Oh, no, sorry. I was going to share one of the reasons why this is so important to me is that when I was a little girl, like, my godmother's father was passing. And as a little girl, I didn't understand death. And I didn't have anyone explaining it to me. And they were all good with it, which confused me more why everybody was good with it. Nobody was scared. Nobody was like feeling any kind of way about it. So that was even more confusing to me. And I wasn't supposed to go near the bedroom that he was in. And me being so curious as I am, I always gravitated to his doorway. So they all like, I perceived them getting mad at me because I knew I wasn't supposed to be near the bedroom. They didn't want me near there. So that led to more confusion. Now I don't know what that is. I don't understand why they're all good with this happening. And I don't understand why they're getting mad at me that I want to go near the bedroom. And so that was so exciting for me as a little girl. But now, and I wrote my first story in elementary school about that experience. It was a little book that I made. So, and it's like so important to me that people get that. Like,
right.
Know that tomorrow's not promised. We all logically know this. And as human beings, we tend to forget it.
Absolutely.
And leave this earth without sharing your story, without making that ripple effect on others, to me, is just awful.
You know, you made me just think of like my favorite aunt, Aunt Maddie. She passed away suddenly. And she was in the 60s, but she passed away suddenly. And my cousin sold her house. She's lived down the street from me. He sold the house and they got rid of the cars and everything. And so he was the only child. So he moved to like Manhattan, you know, and so I don't get to see him anymore. And then I go by the house and I'm like, there is nothing left. And all I have really is like her life story in the obituary. And that saddens me. That really makes me super sad. And I just told my mom that the other day. I was like, there's nothing left of her. And she goes, what do you mean? I said, all I have is like her obituary that has her whole life story and maybe some pictures or so, but it would have been so grand to like read her story, like really read her story. So I thought that was great. I want to write my mom's story, you know, because my mom is 82.
That would be amazing.
I want to write her story. So I told her I really want to write her story. I really want to, just because I want my grandkids and my kids to know her story. I really want her to just put it out there. And so she was like, really? I said, yeah, I'll take notes and you just talk about it. I'll take notes and write your story, you know? So you're really doing something that's really everybody should do. And I know this is about your story, but you're just making things come at me. I don't know why.
Oh, no, that's awesome. I love listening to you. When I started,
you know how you know how the Bible is a story, right?
Yeah.
And many generations read it over and over and over and over.
Hey.
That's what you bring about, memoirs.
Yeah, because it's generations. Yeah, it's those immortal words. You can guarantee that your words are immortal. You can't be immortal in a physical sense.
Yes.
In a very spiritual way, you can be immortal by having your words on this paper or audio. Yeah. It just depends on what people like. And that's another thing.
Yeah.
Unattached to what the outcome is. I hear from people, I don't know how to type. Okay. Well, there's lots of ways to get around that.
It sure is.
Okay, you don't like the sound of your voice. I go through that myself. It's hard for me to show up on this podcast because I have stories about how I sound. In fact, I just went on live on Facebook and shouted you out and talked about a lesson that I learned just yesterday listening to another podcast. It's even hard for me to show up that way because I have stories about how I look and how I sound. And it's letting go of what we think that it needs to look like or that it needs to be, or our perceptions of ourselves or our perceptions of our story. Right. There's so many of us, including myself, that have the worthiness conversation, the deserving conversation. We're all human beings.
So good. It's so good because I remember saying that about myself. Oh, I don't like my voice. And then I was like, wait. And then I started listening to it. What kind of like my voice? You know, I was like, what did they even think about that? I kind of like the way I sound. Ooh, you know, and I was like, I now can listen to my podcast. You know, when you're cutting it up and everything. And I'm like, I can listen to myself, make pieces. And I said, yeah, that's right. That's right. And I'm like cheering myself on. I'm like, you know, exactly. It's just that you know, fear of, like I said, you know, are they going to accept you, that you're not enough, you know, and that plays on that you don't like parts of yourself. And we forget that our voice is part of ourselves, you know, we like that. So that's a really big point.
And our voice is so powerful, whether it's our verbal voice or our writing voice. Distinction in that, because our voice is our voice and it's so powerful.
Sure.
Which has been my lesson for the past few years. It's just getting that I get to use my voice and I can be writing, I can be speaking. And it's good because honestly, I've been appearing on podcasts now for a year. And that was just my journey of, let me see how it goes. Let me see what happens. And I was scared. I was terrified. I didn't know what I was going to speak about. Right. I didn't know what my message was. I didn't have clarity on a lot of things.
Right.
And now it's the bigger picture of it is meeting amazing people like yourself that's so like-minded and collaborating with people like yourself. I never thought a year ago that would even be possible.
That's what I said. I said this about my podcast. I said, I never thought, I started it in 2019, really didn't get out there because I was like, I didn't like my voice, you know, and then I started, then I just like, you know, audio is good because you can just go on and your hair can be standing on your head. It's fine. It's all good. You know, it's great. You can do that. And I started going on and then I was like, wow, this is great. And I got more consistent. And then never in my wildest dreams would I have thought that it would be where it is right now, how amazingly shared it is with everyone, how amazingly, you know, you can just it's there. Like, people are downloading episodes. I never would have thought that. Never would have thought that in a long time. In a long time, you know. So it's good. Yeah. It's good when you have, you start using your voice and the the authentic voice that you have. That's good.
Talk about
some of the steps that you take with your clients to start writing their memoirs. What's one to three steps that you take with them?
The major step, and people don't like hearing this, is you just gotta write. There's no getting around that. There's no bypassing that. It's, you have a choice, either you write or you don't write. And mm-hmm. to get started, it's giving yourself permission to write. So the first thing is giving yourself permission. That's what I did. Right. I declared that I was going to begin it. I declared that I was going to write. And I was in a transformation workshop, and I had a coach. And I met with him weekly. And every week he'd say to me, Kim, you said you were going to do this. What is going on? You're not doing it. And then in the next week, when are you going to start it? Then the next week, when are you going to start it? It's now in the fourth week of the six-week program. When are you going to start it? The fifth week is like, you're not doing it. You're not keeping your word. What is going on? The sixth week, I finally said, okay, I'm going to do it. And I gave myself permission. It just means that I get to sit down, and I didn't do pen and paper. I decided to do my laptop, because then I could just be with it in my comfortable space on my recliner with my blanket and a cup of tea. And I went into it, and by giving myself permission, I discovered that the biggest fear I had was feeling unknown about how I was going to feel my feelings.
Ah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. That's
and good. So that giving yourself permission is way deeper than just writing. It's giving yourself permission to be with your story, giving yourself permission to show up however it means to show up. Mm-hmm. I chose a laptop because I knew I wanted to be cozy and comfortable, because otherwise I was going to be a mess. I wouldn't do it. And I did it in 5 days because I wrote about the most challenging emotional thing for me, which was my mom and her cancer journey. And I can't tell you how much I cried, Edna, in those 5 days. And I didn't have any stories about it, and I didn't have any perceptions about it. I had tissues next to me constantly, and I was blowing my nose and tears running down my face, not coming out of my nose, and I'm typing away.
It's true. I know what you're saying. I know. And it's so liberating once you do all that, though. Once you do all that, it's like, hey, that was easy. I could do that again, you know?
I had such a sense of relief when I finally did it. And I got to see the story from a different perception. Like, I got to see almost like my higher self.
Right, exactly.
When I got done writing it. Because the story was different, which is so beautiful. And that's my whole thing, is that it's not about the writing. It's about what you get from the writing. So having that passion, having that love, and it was from my mom, and it was about what I wrote about her journey. However, it was more about me, because I finally got to see what I went through, what it was that I went and on a journey with. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that you said when you write, you're writing in your higher self. And I often look at some of my books that I've written, and literally, I was like, oh, I wrote that? Who wrote that? Like, it's so good. Like, and I was like, oh, this is so good. So I decided, I was like, every year you got to kind of revamp your branding. You're not your branding, but what you're going to do, your social media campaign. So I said, oh, well, these quotes in these books are so good. I think I'm going to pull out some quotes from there and use them, as my own quotes instead of somebody else's. So I was like, but I saw how what you said about the writing, it brought about a higher self, because Edna in a regular self wouldn't have never written this, but higher self wrote this, higher, I was in a higher place that when I wrote this, it was so good for everyone's soul That's what, you know, it was so good for everyone. So including my own.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, because I've been writing poetry for over 20 years. And the poetry came into my life because I was going through domestic violence with my daughter's father.
Yeah.
And it literally just felt like hell. Like it was so challenging.
Yeah.
It was so hard not to give up. And she was my focus. And the poetry was my therapy because I resisted therapy. I wasn't yet in a place of even asking for support because having been raised by two alcoholics, I didn't even know I could ask for support. Like I didn't know that I could go to people because I always did everything on my own. And that the poetry, I've been doing it for so many years. It's exactly what you said. I write it and it's like I'm a messenger because after I write it, I'm like, I do that? Where did that come from?
I'm like, oh, it's so good. You really do. You're like, so good. You know, and you're not even tooting your own horn. It really just is that good. It really is. And we all know as writers, we know what's good and what's not good, you know. We do. Yeah. When we write something, we're like, that is so garbage. Like, you're not even being real right there. You know,
it. Yeah, because when I first started writing it, it was literally my therapy. So I was just dumping it out on paper. And it was a form of poetry, but it was literally surface level, like dumping it out, just releasing something that was sitting there that felt toxic. And then over the years, I was able to connect with a deeper part of myself. That the poetry felt more impactful because I could write in a place, like I had a meeting last night with someone who's interested in writing his memoir. And I posted a poem on Facebook about being raped when I was a kid. And he said he read that poem and he had to kind of step away from it because he could feel almost like he could be there. And that's how I write now. I write so that you could picture what it was like for me to experience that. Like you could actually see being me. Whereas when I started 20 years ago, it was the surface.
Right.
It was just dumping.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just a process.
And it's your dumping. It's your jump. It's your dumping. That's what's important.
Yeah.
I remember when I first started too.
Yeah, even writing a memoir, it's a process. It's a journey. Yeah. So,
Yeah, and you have to get into the flow of it. You have to accept the flow of it. Because even then, I think that your I'm not good enough steps in and you start saying, oh, no, people don't want to hear that. They want to hear this, you know, because I know that maybe Oprah wrote about this.
Exactly.
And I should write about that.
Oh, the comparison is death. Comparison is death. It's awful. Like I find myself even doing it sometimes on social media.
Yeah.
As I follow people, and it's including yourself because you're an author of many books, and I intend on being an author of many books. This is just the beginning for me. This is just my stepping stone. And I find myself that I'm following people I know where I want to be because you're already doing where I want to get to. And yet I still find that I compare. And then I catch myself and I'm like, no.
It's true. It's true. When I first started the marketing journey of, you know, social media campaigns and everything, I had to figure out my place. So when I first started, I love Ayanna Van Zandt. I love her.
You know,
and I was like, I definitely want to do what she does, you know,
do
have that same fire inside. I definitely want to do what she does. You know, I see myself in my own big house and inviting two or three people in and counseling them and getting, I could see myself doing it.
Yeah.
I can see myself doing it. But I started, you know, everything I posted was from, you know, either her or Oprah, you know. And it was just like monotonous to me. And I was like, oh, no. And I said, okay, so I need to really, really start thinking about who I am, like who I am, because people need to see who I am and not anybody else. So when I started really recording and doing lives, because it takes this life of its own, because you really become a movie star.
Yeah.
When you start, it's like, it's you know, having your book, you're really being like, you're really being a movie star. You because they want to see you in action. We see you. So I had to really become very authentic. And even with my, you know, mixing words up and sometimes stuttering, I'm not recording it over. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
Take it as it is.
Exactly.
So you find your authentic self. You find it, you know?
Yeah. And for me, that's been a cycle, the letting go of that perfection. Because I was also in my space for so many years growing up. I thought I had to be perfect. And if I wasn't perfect, I wasn't good enough. So it kept coming back to that good enough conversation.
Right.
And I going on podcasts, I've even hit a wall now, because in the home that I grew in, it was don't ask, don't tell. So now over a year of sharing my story, using my voice, I'm hitting a wall because it's, am I saying too much? Should I be divulging so much?
Right.
Like, should I be talking about all these things that that happened in my family?
Right.
And so to me, that's a sign that I get to elevate and I get to go to a next step.
Yeah, I was going to say that it's time to elevate now, because that's what happened to me.
Yeah.
You know, I was on so many podcasts in the beginning when I first started. After my first book that came out, which was this one, Stuff, I was on, like, I can't even tell you. Once I went on RAINN, the organization, RAINN.org, once I went on there, then it just kind of, like, flowed from there. And it was, like, I must have had 2 to 3 podcasts a week. And it was, like, for 6 months straight. And that felt like a year. felt like a year. And then I got to a point where I said, you know, now what's next? Like you, okay, the story's out there, you know, okay. And then there was like, there was quiet, like there was nobody asking me, I'm like, what's next? Mm-hmm. So I finally figured I'm supposed to be going the next level. I can't stay doing podcasts forever.
Exactly.
It's very simple.
Exactly.
But I can't stay there. I can't stay there. So I had to take the next level. You know, I had to, okay, what's up next? What's the next thing I had to do? And you move to the next level. Everything has its levels, you know?
Exactly.
And I'm glad that you're there. I'm glad that you're there.
Thank
so that's good.
Thank
so
you.
What is on the horizons for you?
I really feel called to having my own podcast. Yeah, because now that I've met so many like yourself, I have my own, and I can invite you to be on mine.
Yeah,
you so kindly invited me to be on yours, and you invited me on be on other things with you, including the end of the month. And so I feel like it's just not only a next level of like elevation, it's another level of collaborating with people, because like I said before, I felt like I had to do everything by myself. And now that I've been on this journey, I see that I really do go faster when I'm working with people, when I'm when I'm hand in hand with others. It, it makes it so lonely when I'm trying to do it by myself.
It does. And you know what it is? And I had to tell a client this the other day, and they felt, you know, they had gotten sick, and they weren't able to do what they needed to do. And they said, I feel so very alone, you know, and even though there was like 4 or 5 other people in the house, felt so very alone because I can't do what I want to do. I said, stop it. You know, it's a power play. It's power. Relent to help.
Exactly.
There's other people there. Relent to help and let it happen.
Exactly.
That's it. They let them help. It's just a power play. It really is. Because if you're so used to doing things yourself, you feel that alone because, you feel alone because in your own power, you know, nobody else can do it. You know, like I'm telling you, when I got a coach and he was a specialist in marketing, he's like, well, you got to do this, this, and this, and you got to get an assistant. That's the one thing he said to me. And I was like, wait a minute, they can't talk like I can. They don't have the voice.
Exactly.
They don't have my voice. I say things a particular way. I got to have like somebody's like me, you know.
Exactly.
That's hard to find. You know, I'm like, it's hard to find. He said, just find one. So I was like, really? And I fought tooth and nail. I don't think they're going to have the right things to say. They're not going to say it the right way. They're not going to even write it the right way. And he was like, do it. He didn't even say, did you do it? He said, do it. That's exactly what he said. Well, yeah. I can't afford it. Do it. And I afforded it. Yeah. I afforded it, because if I afforded him, I definitely could afford that. He says, like, okay, I did it. And it was I'm never not going back to not having an assistant. Never.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never. I mean, it's so important. Like, it really is.
Yeah.
It really, really is. It helps you. And now it feels like I'm not alone. And I could, you know, bounce ideas off of somebody as a team. So now you're building your team and you're not alone.
Exactly.
So I had to relent my power, my control.
Yes.
Because I had some control issues.
Yeah. Don't we all?
We all do. So do you have a name for your podcast that you're going to, do you have a name, or are you going to keep it Million Dollar Memoirs?
I want to keep it along the lines of Million Dollar Memoirs, because I already have ideas. It's like having an offer that I could have an anthology book, because people will share their stories. So they've already shared their story. That can go in the book. And then, you know, and sharing the theme of how important it is to stories. Similar to yours. Like you're sharing authentic, real stuff. And I think that's what's the important part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, audience, you heard that this Million Dollar Memoirs is going to be a podcast soon with host Kimberly Henry. On the rise, ladies and gentlemen, we are so excited for her. Is there some words of encouragement you can give to my audience?
Oh, words of encouragement. I feel like it's going back to that reaching out to someone, like remembering that you're not in it alone. None of us are in this life alone. There may be times where we feel like we are and we're not, because like, I'm sure your listeners already feel like it's a community. So with that feeling of community, that's so important, because as human beings, all we want is connection. All we want is to feel heard and feel loved and feel seen. So yeah, I think it goes back to that asking for support, even if it's for someone just to listen that you need a shoulder, and letting go of the way that it looks or the way that it's supposed to look.
Right.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, that brings us to the end of the show, and we want to thank you, Kimberly Henry, for being here with us. And you guys know that you can find me all around at EJW Coaching on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And you know I'm found on LinkedIn at Edna J. White. So if you want to ask a question, if you want to know something, you want to buy something, please look me up. And soon you'll be looking up Kimberly Henry. Hey. So we want to thank you, audience, because you could be anywhere else, but you're here today listening with us. Thank you again for being with us. This is Edna White, your host, and my guest, Kimberly Henry, saying goodbye for now.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.